This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, David, for this introduction. And we are in our series of Heaven Talk in the Christian War Room. Again, if you want to check us out, you can do this at christianwarroom.com. ChristianWarRoom.com, and you get like a lot of talks. Now, the Heaven Talk series is, I'm just looking on my screen here, it's, they're all, you know, Christian War Room part, and then you get the number. It's going to be the sort of the mid-80s, 85, I think it starts off with 81, and then it goes up and down. I don't know how much it interests you. I've dug out a couple of testimonies as well, so we're going to look at them in a minute as well. Now, what is the issue here? Because we are talking about the Christian War Room. A lot of it is about deception. Christian War Room is about strongholds, you know, bad ideas, which raise themselves up or elevate themselves against the knowledge of God. And that is a big problem. So if there's deception, then it can be quite dramatic, can be lethal. If you believe a lie instead of the truth, this lie can get you into hell and into eternal damnation. And obviously, I'm making here a pompous claim because I'm saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But he said it himself, about himself. Interestingly, Muhammad never made a claim to that extent. Yeah? So it's up to you whether you want to follow, you know, the guy Muhammad mentioned in the Quran umpteen times, if you are Muslim, or you want to follow Muhammad, who in the Quran itself is only mentioned a couple of times, and a lot of other things, you know, are very uncertain. Mecca and Medina is only mentioned once, yeah? And then you've got this whole religious stuff which comes up, which doesn't really lead you anywhere. You know, there's no foundation for it other than some stuff which was made up about 200 years after the Quran was finished, after Muhammad died. Okay, so here we have got a problem. Yeah? But when you follow Christ and when you follow Jesus, he makes some very strong claims, and the claims can only lead you to two points, to either totally reject him, because there can only be a claim of somebody who is mad, or to accept them. If these claims are true, this de facto makes him to be God. And that is pretty much the claims he has. He says that there is no one who can come to God except through him, through Jesus Christ. And so we need to take this on board. Okay, now 85% of Americans think that they're going to make heaven. And why do they think they make heaven? Because they are pretty good. You know, they are not mass murderers. They are not doing bad stuff. They are pretty average. There's no reason why they shouldn't make heaven. Now, the Bible has got a different viewpoint on this. And if you compare this against what the Bible says, the Bible pretty much says, no chance, yeah, no chance. The only way is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. It's not you being good or trying to be good. It's not you, you know, working on yourself to develop yourself. It's not you, you know, getting the groceries for your frail neighbor, even though it's a good thing. But it's not going to get you into heaven. It's not going to get you into heaven. Okay, so we are back to Jesus, who says that he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through him. Okay, let's last time we were looking at scriptures, and let's look at a few more scriptures. And we've got one scripture. That's what we were looking at yesterday, heaven scriptures, heaven-bound scriptures. And the Bible doesn't tell us an awful lot about heaven. We've got individuals who claim that have been there, and I went through this yesterday. A lot of them, I believe, are fraudulent or just dreamers or got some stuff wrong. But some of them, it sounds like the real McCoy. It sounds like, you know, they really went there and they've really seen stuff, which is supernatural. They've seen heaven. Paul has been to heaven. We know this from the Bible. And he says that he has seen unspeakable things. Yeah. And he didn't say too much about it in the Bible, which is unfortunate. But maybe in this day of this age of confusion, God is pouring out his grace by letting some people see what is going on there and giving us a little bit of a sneak peek in what to expect. But there's also a little bit in the Bible as well. In Hebrews 11, that's the chapter of the heroes of faith. It's worthwhile to read through it, especially when you look at it, some of the modern preaching that's going on. What I'm preaching tells you, you know, you come to Christ, everything is going to be wonderful, you know. You've got a purpose-driven life, and you will be great, you'll be doing great things, and you will change the world, and the world is going to be so much better. And that is pretty much the message which is here today. Or, you know, God wants you wealthy. You know, poverty is a curse, and you come to Christ, and you'll be really, really wealthy. And that is sort of some of the messages which we get drummed in all the time. And again, my friends, wake up. You know, the message they're giving you is to follow the Laodicea principle. And maybe you do get rich, but you get fat and sleazy, as a process. And you will no longer be able to see the truth because you're absorbed with all the, you know, the gadgets and the toys and everything else you have. And nothing wrong with gadgets. I love them. But again, if you love them more than God, there's a big problem. If you base your life on your life's direction on riches, it's a big problem, big problem. Okay, anyway, let's have a look at the scripture. It's Hebrew chapter 11, you know, the heroes of faith, who, let me just finish on this point, who all suffered disaster. They were persecuted, they were naked, they were sawn in two, it says in there, in Hebrews chapter 11. They were sawn in two. You know, they didn't just kill him, you know, but they had to torment them as well to kill him, to finish them off. So they put him in a tree trunk, and they saw the tree trunk in two and let the man bleed to death. I mean, this is just horrendous stuff you hear in there, and this is what has been happening to the heroes of faith. And it says in there, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Yeah. Again, they have seen this word, they think this is rubbish. They have put their whole focus on God, and we should do the same thing, yeah, and desire the one to come, the heavenly country, so that God is not ashamed to be called by them their God. I'm just sort of scanning through the scriptures. I've got about 20 pages of scriptures which I copied about heaven with relevance to heaven. It says here, you know, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Okay. That puts a big doubt as well on some of the heaven testimonies you have. But for me, it's a tricky one, yeah? I know a lot of them are false. And a lot of these guys who come up, and some have even recanted and they've admitted, you know, after they've made their million by selling their book, that it was just a bunch of fiction. And that, you know, it's all sort of concocted in their mind, but it's not real. Some of them have, or one. I know of one case. But again, that's important as well, because Jesus knows what he's talking about. And always bear in mind, when he was amongst us, he spoke more about hell and the horrors than about heaven and the pleasures. You know? It's very, very important to sort of bear this in mind. There's a horror in hell. And God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to go through this horror. And he's done everything in his power, you know, to redeem us from our sin, which ultimately is going to get us into hell if it is not dealt with. Okay, I'm just scrolling down. And then we've got Hebrews 13:14. I mentioned this yesterday, this verse, and it says here, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. We don't have a lasting city here. And that's true. Don't get too familiar, don't get too homey here. Don't try to build your life. And it's a problem as well, because we go to life and it's a natural thing. You want a place to call your home. And I know when I finish work and I come home and I close the door, I can just relax and be at ease. And I've got a heating system. I turn the heating on. I'm warm. I'm comfortable. And it's a place I love to be and where I can rest and enjoy. And even better, you know, when you've got good people around you can share your life with. But again, you know, it's not really where we are meant to be. We are living on enemy territory. We are living in enemy territory. And sometimes you can get away and you can live a full life and you don't have any hassle, but most likely not. Yeah. So we need to bear this in mind. We don't have a remaining city here. No lasting city, but we seek for the one that is to come, and that is the heavenly city. And always bear in mind, you know, here we are just a short time. In heaven, we're going to be for eternity. I'm sort of middle age, or at the upper end of middle age, Let's put it this way. Statistically, there's less to come than what there's been. So I'm on the other side. I'm over the hill, over the hump. And the quality of life is going to go down as well, statistically. So when you look at this. And it's gone really, really fast. And so even if you are young today, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I think we are not talking like decades for Christ to come back. I don't know, though. It might be more than a decade, might be not. I don't know. But one thing I can guarantee you, and that is that your life is going to go so fast. And before you know, you're going to be an old man. You're going to be an old woman. You know, all the fancy stuff is brushed off and you are just living from day to day. And it's not nice days you have. It's not good days. You're just living. And then it's all gone. It's all finished. And whatever fancy life you have created for yourself, other than it being subject to the elements, subject to sin, corruption, people trying to steal it away from you, people giving you a hard time, it breaking down, whatever it may be, other than that, you never know. You never know. So how much more should we focus on our eternal home? Okay, here I'm just looking at some scriptures. Let's look at this one here, John 10:28, and it says here, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What an encouraging scripture we have. Amazing stuff. Again, another sneak peek. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger to you and you welcomed me. And so on. Again, an amazing scripture there. What else have we got? Matthew 25:46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Always bearing in mind that it is not us. You know, righteousness is not ours. It is Christ. He will impute his righteousness unto us. And that is very, very important. So if you try to, you know, be the best you can, it's not enough. It never is enough. And the shortfall, you know, has to be made up. And the only way to do this is through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Again, what does it refer to? I think the general interpretation of the scripture is that it refers to your body. So if your body is destroyed, there's a building from God. There's a place which is your home, a place you can call really home. Again, people who have had the chance to visit heaven through NDEs or through visions or whatever, they very often said that they really felt that it was just the best place ever. You know, they felt at home. And I can sort of relate to this feeling as well. So sometimes, as I said, you come from a busy day and you come home and there's just this feeling, I'm home. You know, it's all done. It's over. This day is over and I can relax until another day comes with all its troubles. But you don't have these troubles in heaven. In heaven, it's just a happy time. You are there. And also, especially if you had a hard time here on earth, how much more would you appreciate? How much more will you appreciate when all this hardship is taken away from you and you don't have to deal with this anymore? And it's true as well. If you've been through tough times, the first time is really, really hard. The second time you go through is less so. But if you haven't got a tough time, you know, just the absence of strife is actually so wonderful. I can relate to this very easily. I was working at a place which was quite horrendous. It was run like a gulag. Just a very, very difficult place to work. Very sort of managers who had no idea of how to handle people. And their idea was they had the aim and they could just, you know, drive them like Pharaoh, you know, just make them work twice as hard and so on. And that was sort of their vision. Yeah, their vision was, and I think it was counterproductive. And a lot of people left and people wouldn't accept this. And so they just voted with their feet. And then you go to a new place of work, and they've got a very different ethos. It's more an ethos of, you know, we trust in you, get on with your job. Yeah? And it's very liberating, and you feel a lot easier. And sometimes you hear colleagues complaining, and you think to yourself, you know, go to the gulag where I've been, and you won't be complaining here for sure. And I think that's heaven as well, obviously, in a completely different dimension. Once you've been here on earth and you've been through all the hardship, you know, the ease of heaven will be so much sweeter. And again, that's something to look forward to. So if you are facing a hard time right now, no, it's not forever. You know, your days are numbered. And for the godless person, when somebody says your days are numbered, it's a curse. Yeah, it's a bit of a reminder that, look, mate, you know, you're gonna be dead soon. And it's one of the worst things you can tell somebody. But, you know, if you say this to a Christian and you say, you know, your days are numbered, don't worry about it. Soon you will be, you know, with your Lord, and you will be in a place which is absolutely fantastic, which is marvelous, which is amazing, where he has prepared a mansion for you, where you can live in your own, you know, in your own house with everything that's in it, you know, where you've got nature that is benevolent, you know. There's no snake that's going to bite you. There's no nothing to fear about. You're going to have to think about, I had some American friends that came over to Germany, and we went through a forest. Now, in Germany, the place where I live, we don't have a problem with poisonous snakes. So there are snakes there, but you never see them. There are not many of them. And there isn't a real problem with that. And so we were going through a forest, and my friends were freaking out, and they said, and they were telling me, I said, are you crazy? You know, they didn't have the right shoes and so on. What are we going to do if there's a snake? And I had to tell them, there's no snake here. There's no bears here. There's no coyotes. There's no dangerous animals here. You can walk through the forest and you don't have to fear anything. And that is sometimes what we have today. We go through nature, which is wonderful and beautiful, but there are lots of dangers sort of hidden away, which could change everything in a second. You know, one bite from a toxic or poisonous snake and it could finish you or could cause a lot of pain for you. And that's the beauty about heaven. There's no pain. Pain is not a law. Death is not a law. There's no sickness. There's no turmoil. We will be there in some sort of perfection, in a glorified existence. We will not be old and fragile, but we will be at the prime in our lives. And then the good thing is we won't have to deal with our flesh either. Our flesh is going to be ripped apart. It's going to be gone. So there's no more fleshly, earthly, you know, desires which are opposing God, you know, what God wants for us, which are opposing the Spirit of God. It will be gone, you know. No more sin. No more sin to worry about. No more sinful desires in our lives. No more temptation. Yeah. No more worry about losing it all. No more nothing. Yeah. All you have is just joy and peace and the presence of God. And you've got your own patch where you can hang out, and it's going to be marvelous. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be designed especially for you, specifically for you, just for you, to your liking. So, I mean, that's heaven, and that's maybe a great encouragement to us if we say to one another, and I mean, it sounds a little bit bizarre, but if you say to one another, your days are numbered, soon your time is going to be up, and you have completed your race. You don't have to race anymore. You don't have to struggle anymore, but you can enjoy heaven. Also, bear in mind, the reason why we are here on earth is not to enjoy ourselves and to play heaven here on earth, but is for a vocation, for a calling God has placed upon our lives. And that is very important. And I find this very often as well, that when I'm placed somewhere, that there is a purpose to it as well. That sometimes God places you in a situation which is not, you know, fortunate or good, but it's maybe to develop you, to develop your character, but maybe also to reach out to a particular people, you know, you need to reach out to. And very often we don't see the full picture. We just see, you know, patchwork of it, and we get an idea of what it might be. But it's maybe important as well to pray and to ask God, you know, why do you want me to be here? What is my job? Who is the person to reach out to? What should I do? Yeah. Okay, let's go through a few more scriptures, see what we have here. Again, I've got this big document. It's just sort of a random paste where I put stuff together. Luke 12:32, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah. And again, you know, God loves you so much. And that is the thing as well. And even, you know, if you are not a Christian, God loves you and he wants you to come in. But there's only one way to do it, and that is through Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice he has provided. You don't accept this and you don't reach out to him, you cannot be in the presence of God. Yeah. Hebrews 11:10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. So again, you know, the stuff we are looking forward to. We've got a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament as well. One of them, I need to dig them out. I sort of remember them. One of them talks about, you know, don't buy bread that does not satisfy. Don't buy milk for free. Yeah, buy bread for free, buy food for free. That's somewhere in Isaiah towards the end. Is it 42 or something? I would have to dig it out. But there's the table of God where God is offering free stuff for us. Yeah, and I mean, I live in an area in Yorkshire which is very poor, and free stuff is always good and is always desirable, and people go for it. They want it, and God is rich and generous. And this is what he is longing. He's longing to give us his very best. And we are heading to heaven to get the very best. And I forgot to turn up the microphone there for a moment. I took the time and looked up the scripture. And it's in Isaiah chapter 55, quite an important scripture. And let me read from Isaiah chapter 55, the first verse. Ho, everybody who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Okay, it's not necessarily a heaven scripture, yeah. Because when you come to Christ, yeah, you drink of the living waters. Living waters means normally waters from a river, not from a well, which tend to be cleaner and better and not stale and so on. That's where it comes from. And it'll, you know, you'll become a source of water yourself. And let me just go down a bit further. And if I go to verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then it goes on, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay. Right, just a little scripture. Heaven, the place where, for sure, where you can drink from the waters, from the living waters, from the river of life. The place where you can buy wine and milk without money and without price. And where you can eat bread which truly satisfies. Again, it's an amazing place. We need to, in the Christian war room, maintain this. We need to let people know heaven is real. Come to Christ. You know, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Repent, you know, with all of your heart and everything, and be reconciled with God. And that is really the key message which we have. Okay, let me just look down whether I can find a few more scriptures which are interesting. So we looked at Isaiah, let's have a look. I'm just looking at most scriptures. They repeat themselves, and it's quite interesting. There isn't that much about heaven, and you know the nature of heaven, describing heaven, what you can glean from the Bible. Yeah? We get a good idea, especially if you read Revelation. The last chapters in the Bible, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. But I have to confess, I've read it, and to me, it I don't understand it, because I don't know what these precious stones, what they stand for, what they are. Just looking, they're all, I'm now looking at scriptures which are kind of related. to heaven, but are not really descriptive. And they tell you who's not going to be in heaven, which is quite interesting as well. Greedy people are not going to be there. Okay, I'm going to leave it at this for now. And I'm just going to make a few general points about heaven. As I said before, I was just sort of having a break here and just going through some of those heaven testimonies. And there are loads of them out there, absolutely loads, when you go to YouTube. But there are also people who are, it's quite interesting. There was one person who said she saw the Pope in heaven. And then there's another person who says she saw the Pope, the last Pope, not this one, the one before. She saw him in hell. Yeah? Now, the big question is, where is he and who is right? Who was really in heaven and who wasn't? Or are they both just talking a lot of nonsense? One of them certainly is, because I'm sure he cannot be in both places at the same time. And so we need to be very, very careful. I tend to think that the woman who said that the Pope is in hell, or who claims to have seen him there, she doesn't make a big thing out of it. She's not an author. She's not writing a big book. The other stuff she says pretty much ties up with whatever we can find and see in the Bible. I've heard, I think, the full talk of her a few years ago, and I couldn't find anything. Whereas the other one, who says that the Pope is in heaven, and that she met him in heaven, including a lot of other celebrities, a lot of stuff sounds very unbiblical. A lot of doctrine she's pushing, like dominionism, she is denying the imminency of Christ's return, and she, what else does she do? Lots of other stuff as well, which makes me think, or leads me to believe, not to take this woman seriously, but that she is just a career writer with either a very vivid imagination or downright deceitful, one of the two. But she doesn't understand. She apparently can see into... Anyway, I just leave it there. I'm not going to go any further on this. Now, the important thing is, okay, we are talking war room. There's a couple of things we need to do, you know, as Christians in the war room. And one of them is we need to make people aware that heaven is real, that hell is real. If we need to get Christians focused on being heaven-bound in their lifestyle, in their thinking, and the way they operate. And also, we need to warn from deception. So if there are people who come up with very weird and strange testimonies, which do not tie up with the Bible and do not follow any sort of consensus, we need to warn of them as well. So that is really the stuff in our war room. So it might be interesting if you are into this thing, you know, if you create your war room and you are into this this subject like heaven and hell, maybe to create a portfolio, a database of all the people who have got testimonies within this area, collect them, and then start filtering as well and start sort of assessing them, what is good and what is not so good, and then make them available to the public. So you might just have like a page with a lot of YouTube links or website links or something, or texts, yeah, stored on a website somewhere. But people can check it out and where they can sort of read it. Right. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, that heaven is real. And we want to thank you and praise you that you have done everything to make it possible for us to come to heaven. Lord, we want to thank you for your grace and for your sacrifice on the cross and your blood being shed for our sins. We pray, Lord, give us discernment and help us to present to this world a true and real vision of heaven and hell so that we can convey this, Lord, to the people in the nations, to those who do not know you, so that they may come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.